You guys would pay better attention if I passed out candy at the end of the service. Till the candy was gone. Well, at least we got some honest folks. Today, as I mentioned earlier, we're starting a new series, a study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to only look at two chapters. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. And I call this series throughout the month of April, Family Ties. Family Ties. I know some of you are thinking about that 1980s sitcom with Michael J. Fox, but get that out of your head. That, you know, we're not going to sing sha-la-la-la. Okay, relax. We're going to talk about family ties. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1, or if you need a pew Bible, it is page 1612 in the pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 or 1612 in the pew Bible. Family ties. The exact title of this message is Christ the Foundation. Christ the Foundation. I realize our time is very short if we're planning to get out of here at noon, but that's not going to happen today. Sorry. I will go as quickly as I can. I will preach as quickly as I can if you listen as hard as you can. We'll study God's Word together. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Paul writes, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let not it even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." As we look at family ties, as we look at what the perfect image of a family is, I got to tell you right away, sorry, it's not Leave It to Beaver. You can't solve life's problems in 30 minutes. You can't have a cliffhanger at the end of the series and solve it in an hour. Real life, real family, real relationships are tough. There's not a one of us in here that is in a relationship or has been in a relationship with someone that doesn't know that for a fact. Those of you that are newly married or perhaps dating for a while, the honeymoon ends. All the older married couples, shake your head. The honeymoon ends and real life comes in. But you know what? As tough as life is, as difficult as life can be, and as two separate individuals grow closer together to become one, if you are in Christ, it may not be totally perfect all the time, but it sure is a whole lot better than being out in the world and having no safety net whatsoever. The very base, the very foundation of your relationship, whether it's dating and planning on getting married or whether it's married, should be Jesus Christ. Now, again, Jesus isn't a band-aid. Jesus isn't someone you turn to and everything's going to be hunky-dory and you're going to be rich and you're going to have a nice bunch of clothes and a great car. But when the times get tough, and they will, because we live in a fallen world, we live in a sinful world, we live in a difficult world. When those times get tough, you have someone to turn to who never sleeps, who never slumbers, and who fulfills the motto, always faithful, as a nod. The Marine Corps likes to say that, but sometimes Things happen. Christ is always faithful and is the model of faith for us. As we look at family ties in verses 1 through 7, you see the basis of your relationship should be Jesus Christ. The basis, the foundation. When you go to build a house, if you don't have a foundation, that house soon falls down. When you go to push a car, if your feet aren't firmly planted, you're going to be stuck in the mud or the sand. You're going to be face down in the mud or the sand. Your foundation is Jesus Christ. How do you get that way? First of all, you have to have a relationship. You have to know this Christ of whom you claim to know. You can't have just a head knowledge. Oh, I've sat in church for 20 years and I know about him. I know a lot about things. I know about, generally, how a generator works. I can't go work on one. I know about them. I have somewhat of a head knowledge, but it hasn't sunken in. I haven't studied it. I haven't dealt with it, and I can't go and deal with it. I don't have that deep, inbred knowledge. To be a Christian is beyond coming somewhere or saying something. It's about trust. It's about belief. Once you've established that in your life, and once your partner has established that in their life, then you can begin. Verses 1 and 2 tells us to be imitators. Imitators. Imitators of who? Who do we imitate? Who do we copy in our daily life? Jesus Christ. Imitators of Christ in all things. Oh, that sounds really good. I could be a good guy. Are you patient? Are you patient with your spouse or significant other? Ouch. Do you practice forgiveness in your daily life with that individual? That's an imitation of Christ. What did he do when he was on the cross but say, "Father, forgive them"? They're putting this man to death in the most horrific manner ever imaginable. They're torturing him to death. It's not quick. It's not clean. It's not without horrible punishment. And yet, he forgives them. Paul calls us to that sort of forgiveness and love. We talk about love. I imagine there's probably a million songs written about love. And I know all of you are thinking about all the different songs about love. But that pales in comparison to the love of Christ. It's a sacrificial love. It's wanting the best for not just his friends, but even his enemies. Do you imitate that in your life? When you go through the drive-thru, if she didn't take the pickles off, do you yell at the girl? That's not practicing Christian love. When, ladies, he leaves the seat up, are you practicing true love? Or do you yell at him? That's not love. That's not love. We're to be imitators of Jesus Christ. That's part of our blueprint. In verses 3 through 5, we're to be inheritors. Inheritors. To inherit something is to be given something by someone who cared enough to give it to you, but you haven't necessarily worked for it. All the great fortunes that have been passed down from father to son are usually lost over time. Sometimes they're not. But the point is, it's usually the father or the ancestor that has worked really, really, really hard for whatever they're passing down to the next one. The son doesn't have to work as hard because they receive it. We, if we believe in Christ, become inheritors not of something that we can lose, not of something that we can forget, not of something that gets put in a bank vault and never seen again, but of eternal life. Verse 2 tells us, to back up just a second, that we have an aroma, or Christ has an aroma, not a physical scent that you can smell, like you might smell the candles that have been up here, but that as we walk in love, that his offering and his sacrifice was to God a sweet-smelling aroma, that his work on the cross was a sweet-smelling aroma. Contrast this with verses 3 through 5, and what aroma are you giving off in your daily life? Covetousness? That doesn't sound like it would be a very good thing to give off. Filthiness? Foolish talking? Coarse jesting? What is coarse jesting? That's standing around the water cooler and telling an off-color joke. Is that part of the life of a Christian? What are you inheriting? The Bible tells us if we follow Christ, we inherit eternal life. If we follow the world, we inherit death, decay, destruction. Verses 6 and 7 call us to be investigators. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. What is it you're looking to for your peace? What is it you're looking to for your happiness? What is it you're reaching for? Is it a job promotion? Is it doing better at this or that, or that new car I'm going to buy in a few months, or things that pass away? Or is it something eternal? Christianity, Christ, invites you to investigate his claims because they stand up. To investigate his truth because it's eternal. To investigate his sacrificial love because it never ends. The blueprint is in Christ. The base is Christ's likeness in verses 8 through 14. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all the things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Our blueprint is in Christ. Our base is in Christ's likeness. Verses 8 through 10 says, know the plan. Know the plan. How do you know the plan? How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know how to take the first step? We're given a book. Not just a book. It doesn't just contain the words of God. It is the Word of God. You see, there's a difference between something containing and something being. You can have a little tiny cup that contains diamonds, and that's, ooh, that's nice. But if you have a little medicine cup-sized diamond, which is better? The real thing or the thing that it contains? The words that God gives us are the words of life. And they never fade away. Know the plan. Verses 8 through 10 tell us, find what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, is it easy? No. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to follow what God wants us to do. But if he expects us to do it, he gives us the plan and he gives us the strength to follow through. Verses 11 through 13, know the problem. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, does that mean you walk down to these clubs or wherever and you go, ah, sinner? No. It's not about you standing on the corner and beating someone up with the Bible. It's about a self-examination. It's about a rooting out in your life of your evil habits, of your shortcomings, and saying, God, fix me. I said in Sunday school this morning, too often we pray, God, fix that other guy over there. He needs it worse than I do. Not true. We need to have ourselves fixed. And only the great physician can diagnose our sickness and cure us of the evilness that is within us. Because, again, we live in a fallen world. Know the problem. It's interesting that he says, expose it to the light. Do the right thing in public and in private. Some of the most sanctified and glorified and fanciest looking people can come to church, can do all the right things, but inside their soul is a sewer and a cesspool. It's not about looking good. It's not about appearing good. It's about being good. And you know what? You can't do it on your own. None of us is good enough and can be good enough to reach God. It's only through His Son. It's only through following His example. It's only in belief in Him that we know the problem and that we can address it. Verse 14 tells us to know the provider. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you the light. You can't get enlightenment, you can't get words and peace for living if you don't know the provider of that. Why do so many celebrity marriages fail? Why do so many people fail? Why do so many people sit around depressed? They don't have Christ in their life. Does that mean Christians don't get depressed? No. Does that mean Christians don't have problems? No. But it certainly means if Christ is the center of your life, if you have an open link to Him as His child, that you have help available. The greatest help of all. Finally, family ties. The blessing is Christianity. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting your to one another in the fear of God. Let's break that down real quick. The blessing of Christianity is this. First of all, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. To be a follower of Christ, to be so identified with Him that you can't tell where you end and He begins. Have you ever seen the little old couple that finishes each other's sentence or starts each other's sentence and then finishes it? That's kind of neat. Kim and I are starting to get that way. I can tell you how she thinks about most things. She still surprises me from time to time. But what is that? That simple time with her. We've been married nearly 20 years. That's a long time for some of you guys. Some of you aren't much more than 20. It's a long time. And some of you are going, man, you're just newlyweds. when you spend time with someone, when you actually can take on the characteristics and have the mind of that person, you in essence become that person. Christianity, the blessing of it is you have the mind of the only perfect man to ever walk the earth. You know what's right and wrong. You can do it. It's not easy, but you can do it. Paul warns us in verses 15 and 16, be cautious. Be cautious. I was talking with someone this morning, I don't remember exactly who, at breakfast, but we were kind of reminiscing about how we survived our youth. We all do stupid stuff as youth. We do. We do dumb stuff. You guys are sitting there thinking about some of the dumb stunts you pulled. Wow, I shouldn't have done that. I'm lucky to be alive. We all have that story. As a maturing Christian, as a maturing adult, be cautious. Don't put yourself in a situation that you can't get out of. Don't be foolish with yourself and with your time. There is no greater pursuit than the pursuit of God's love and God's holiness. The things you pursue in this world pass away. The job promotion will one day end and you get that watch as you walk out of the door. The idle time you spend will one day end as the coffin lid closes on this chapter of your time on earth. But the time you spend on eternal things as a child of God never ends. Verses 17 and 18 tells us to be sober. Paul uses it as an example, wine. People like to say, okay, well, he's saying don't drink wine. I'm going to stop here. I don't drink, period. I don't look down on you if you do. That's between you and God. But, listen to me, anything that separates you from God, that dulls your senses, whether it's wine, whether it's a sporting event, whether it's anything you can possibly think of, if it becomes your little g god, it's got to go. There can be only one God. There can be only one focus in your life. When you have that focus in Christ, the rest falls into place. Be sober in all matters. And verses 19 through 21 teach us, be joyful. Be joyful. I've said it many times in this pulpit. I'll say it again. There are a lot of Christians walking around out there that look like they have dived in the vat at Mount Olive Pickles and gone under about five times swallowing pickle juice all day long. It shouldn't be that way, folks. It shouldn't be that way. I'm not saying run around and shout and kick up your heels and annoy dogs and people too, but be joyful. Be joyful. You have, as a Christian, eternal life. What more could you want? If Christ is your foundation, you will have a source of strength when times are hard. He loved you and died for you to forgive the sin debt that you could not pay. He gives life and life more abundantly, John 10:10 tells us. This doesn't mean great wealth or health, but it means that your eternal future is secure. This world is a hard place, but it's not your home. Family ties. Christ is and should be the foundation of any home. As Miss Lisa comes to play our hymn of invitation, hymn number 416, I invite you to do this. If you have just a head knowledge of this Jesus that I've talked about, you've heard the story a million times, and it's never really sunk in, but maybe today, maybe something in one of the songs, or maybe something I said triggered, where am I? What am I doing? What have I done with this Jesus? Do I headwise believe? Or is my heart not right? I invite you, I implore you, get it right today. Christian, if your marriage, if your family, if your relationships, whatever way, are based on Christ, but have slipped a little, get it right today. There's no better day to make a fresh start in any manner than on Easter Sunday. Let's all stand and sing hymn number 416, Christ Arose, all verses. Center their lives and their home. For it's in your son's name we pray.